Model faith. How many of you were ever into models as a kid? Anybody, you're willing to admit it? I was big time into models. I'm the kind of person, though, that whatever I'm into, I'm really into. Whatever it is. I got into running, I guess, 10 years ago now, and I went all in. Like, I got the gear, I got the shoes, I got the thing, I got the packs, I got the gel things. Come on, somebody. Like, you take those at mile 7, pop those in, get a little sugar high, keep running. I got all the things. Whatever I get into, I go all in. I've always been that way all my life. I got into golf. I went all into golf. I got all the clubs, the gear. I looked the part. I might not be able to play it, but if you were passing me on the street, you'd be like, that's a golfer right there. I'm all in whatever I'm in. So when I was a kid, I was all into models. And I don't know if you remember these, but they had models and they would come and it was like this plastic outer edging, and inside was all the pieces, and you had to pop them off, and then you had all the instructions. I had the glue, the kind of glue that didn't clump up, because you couldn't have that on your model cars or your model airplane. I had the X-Acto knives, the ones that would just cut it just right. I had the paint for the models. I'm just letting you in how all in I go. I upholstered the seats. Come on, somebody. My 65 candy apple red Ford Mustang, which was my dream car, but that little model, I went all in because I liked it. And what I would do is I would always, when I did a model, I would take the box or the cover that would have all the angles, it would have pictures of it, and I would set it up to look at it, because I needed, as I was building my model, I needed a model to follow. And I would propose that all of us are the same, that whether you know Jesus, don't, whether you're into faith, or you're like, I don't really know about this thing called Christianity, we all look for models to follow. We even say it. We have a phrase that's very famous. We say this, oh, I'm looking for a role model, right? What we're saying is, I want to see someone that has proven what I'm interested in, and then I can follow the model. I can follow the proven model. Are y'all tracking with me? I need something. I need an example in front of me. If you're an athlete and you want a model to follow, you're a football player. So, you know, you want to follow winning teams, like not the Commanders, but other winning teams. Not the Cowboys either. I just had to. I just need to make sure you're awake still, right? Court, I need to follow a model like a Peyton Manning, like the greatest of all time. I need a model to follow. You know, businesses say this, right? I need a business model. If you're a business owner, business leader, you need a business model. Why? Because you're wanting to prove, you know, who's done before and who's proven what it looks like. I can follow that path. We have financial models, right? Right? You want a parenting. Come on, parents. You want a parenting model, right? That's why your boy hasn't done a series on parenting yet. I'm still in research and development. They're still in the house. I got to bring people in for that, right? I don't know yet. I'm not a proven model. I can give you some things for the Word of God. I have no proven model experience. It's looking good so far. I'll just say that. Glory to God, looking good so far. But I want a proven model. And I would say today that Abraham is a proven model of what faith looks like. If faithfulness, think about this, if faithfulness is what I look back on in a moment where I had to exercise faith, which that's what it is, something happened in my life, a situation arose, and I needed faith in God, then faithfulness is when I get on the other side of that mountain and I look back and go, God was faithful. But I don't get to see faithfulness if I never exercise faith. Are y'all tracking with me so far? I'm just trying to set this idea up for you. I don't get to see faithfulness if I've never had a moment where I needed to exercise faith. And so it is the moments where I needed faith, where God proved faithful, that I can look back and go, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. Are you with me? And so how do I respond, or what do I do in the moments where I need faith? Because I would say that all of us face many, many, many of those moments in our life where we need to exercise. I don't have the answer. I can't see the other way out of this. I don't know the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't have a solution. I've done all that my money can do. I've done all that my networking can do. I've done all that my talking can do. I've done everything I know to do, and I need God to move now. If you're not in that place, you will face that place. Well, Pastor, can you be more encouraging? Okay. I want to encourage you. If you're not there right now, you will be. someone where you want faith. So I need a model of faith to know how to respond when I need faith. And I think Abraham shows us. The Bible says that by faith, when God called Abraham to go. So let's say this, is that faith begins with a word. Or faith begins with a promise. Faith doesn't begin with a feeling. If you're waiting on your feelings, you may never exercise faith. Because faith isn't a result of an emotion, faith is the result of a choice. And so faith begins with a word, or it begins with a promise. I would even propose this, that faith doesn't begin with a crisis. Some of us, I understand the thought process there, that faith, oh, it began with the diagnosis. It began with the they walked out on me. It began with the challenge. It began with the layoff. It began with I didn't get into the school I wanted to go to. I understand that that could be what motivates you towards God. But faith doesn't begin with the crisis. Faith begins with the word. The crisis may be what motivates you to seek God, and then in seeking God, you get a word, but once you get the word, then you have something to anchor faith to. My faith can't be anchored to feeling. My faith can't be anchored to the chaos of a situation, because once the situation is over, then do I not have faith anymore? No, I still have faith. So my faith has to be anchored to something deeper than something that is emotive, something that is situational, something that is going on around me, something that isn't a song, something that isn't a service. My faith has got to be more rooted in that, because LifePoint Worship can't get in your car. LifePoint Worship can't go to homeroom with you and create those moments where you're like, all right, I got faith now. No, my faith is anchored in a word. The Bible says that by faith, when God called. Not when Abraham felt it. Not when Abraham got in a bad situation. It says by Abraham's faith was activated when God spoke. Now, some of us, we like to call things God that are really us. Let me get away from you a little bit. I don't want you to be able to reach me if you're throwing something. We like to spiritualize our will and call it faith. We like to call desires faith. We really want it. We feel it. We desire it. We want it to go our way. And so what happens? We begin to gather people around us that will tell us what we want to hear. We begin to push out voices that will challenge the direction we're going. And we say, I got to get negativity out of my life. No, you may be pushing counsel out of your life. You may be pushing wisdom out of your life. You may be pushing godliness out of your life, and you may be inviting immaturity into your life that is run by feelings and run by desires and run by whatever the whim of the day is. And then we call it faith. And then when God doesn't honor it or bless it, we end up frustrated. And so then we get a stall out in our faith. And we begin to go, God wasn't with me. I don't want to walk. This church thing doesn't work. God thing doesn't work. No, 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 no. God is not obligated to bless your feelings. God is only obligated to bless his word. God's only obligated, say it with me, to bless his word. He's not obligated to bless your way. He's only obligated to bless his way. God, and this may rub a little bit, God's not obligated to bless everything that's in your heart. But he is obligated to bless everything that is in his heart for you. Are y'all tracking with me? Abraham didn't pack up the whole family. If you don't know the whole story, go back to Genesis. Abraham packed up the whole family because God gave him a promise that I'm gonna make a nation out of you. He packed up the whole family and began to go in a direction and did not know where he was going. Abraham didn't head out. The Bible says that he activated faith when God spoke. When God spoke to him. Not when his mama spoke to him. I'm all for listening to mama. If she's healthy and wise. Mentally, okay, just. You can honor dysfunctional people without taking their counsel. I'm trying to help somebody right now. You can live honorably You don't have to listen to every voice. Okay, y'all try. Some of y'all, they with you right now, and you're like, they're sitting right beside you. And you're like, I cannot flinch. But inside, you're going. See, whenever we spiritualize our desires, we do what sounds like God, but we do it in a me way. God's not obligated to bless your way. God's obligated to bless his way. So then how do I know it's God, right? How do I know something's God then? Because there's so many things and decisions and steps of faith. Like as I pray through what our family will bring, like we have for, you know, 18 years now to year-end giving. I can't go find a verse. There's no verse that's like, oh, there it is, Psalms 15. Daniel, write the check for, I mean, it's not in there. So how do I know? It would be much easier. It would have saved me a lot of heartache if I'd have read Luke 16. Tamra Marie Lynch will be your wife. I could have skipped all those other dates. Could have saved all that money. I'm just kidding. Are you following me? There was no verse that said, move to Fredericksburg, Virginia, Daniel. There's no. So how do you know? How do you know when it's God or when it's bad pizza? Right? Let me give you a filter. Number one is I do go to the Word of God. But you just said some things the Word of God doesn't speak to directly. Some things God doesn't speak to directly, but he speaks to in principle. So he may not give me an exact direction, but he gives me a guardrail. God, what do I do with this conflict? Well, he hasn't exactly told me how to resolve the conflict, but what he has told me is that as much as it depends on me, you live at peace with everyone. There's a principle, how I'm supposed to respond. He says that I'm supposed to approach relationships with humility. That gives me another principle. Now I'm stacking principles. If you ever stacked workouts, are you following me? Now I can stack principles, principle upon principle upon principle, and that begins to give me a guardrail. Okay, I got a direction that I know now. Now I know. Okay, that principle says don't do that. It says does do that. I don't have a specific one. Do I take the job? I don't know, but I got some principles. Are y'all tracking with me? Number two, this is in order too of priority. Number two, I go to the Lord in prayer. I pray through it. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Are you serious? Yeah, pray about everything. Pray about conversations. Pray about everything. Pray specifically about everything. And then don't miss this part of prayer. And then close your mouth long enough to listen. I think sometimes, and this is just my imagination, I think sometimes we run into prayer and it's like, boom. God's like, oh, I was going to say something too, but you ran off. What if we just stop long enough? Some of us, it's the most still we've been all week. And we don't even know how to deal with silence. It begins to make us like, I need my phone. real, story, Facebook. What if we just stop and go, Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me. I got some principles. I got some direction, but I need to know your voice. And you can know the voice of God. You can learn the voice of God just like I've learned the voice of my children. You can learn the voice of God. It doesn't happen overnight, but you can learn the voice of God, but you gotta stop long enough to listen. You gotta stop talking long enough. Number three is what does godly counsel say? Godly. Proven model. Are y'all tracking with me? Not proven, I'm not gonna disparage anyone, proven model. Godly. Like lives the life, walks the walk, talks the talk, proven humility, proven character, proven over time. Are you following me? Not the loudest voice, the godly voice. Who's that in your life? This is why you need to be in a small group. You need to be around people that'll be a godly voice in your life. People that love you enough to go, whoa, 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 time out. Don't think that's a good idea. You need some people in your life that are even willing to go, right choice, wrong time. Are you following me? Because you can do the right thing in the wrong time and God still isn't obligated to bless it. Right choice. I'm praying through something right now that I'm beginning to think is right thing. It's been a dream in my heart for decades. I think it's wrong time. And I don't want to go where God's not blessing. I'm so desperate in my life for the blessing of God over me that I don't want to take a step. Are you following me? I want the same for you, that you wouldn't take a step. Why? Because whenever we take steps without God, we end up having to do a whole lot of cleanup work that wastes a whole lot of time and a whole lot of energy and gets us off of our destiny in God. Are you with me? And then number four is, do I have peace? I want you to notice that my feeling was the last thing I consulted. Are you tracking with me? How I felt about it was the very last thing. Why? Because your feelings will lie to you. You can't trust feeling. But after you've gone through the word and after you've gone through prayer and after you've gone through some godly counsel that's helping give you some wisdom and direction, at the end of the day, is there a knowing deep in your heart and deep in your spirit that this is the step that God wants me to take? Then it's time to take the step of faith, because I've got a word, I've been through prayer, sought God the counsel, and I got a piece of God about it. Are you with me? Say amen. Come on. Is this helping? Number two thought, if you need notes today. Second thought around what is a model of faith. Well, the Bible says that Abraham went to a land that would become his inheritance. He obeyed and went. And then he set up his tents and in a place that would become the promised land, but he was a foreigner in the country. It says a place that would later become his inheritance. Faith is, it begins with a word, but it's developed in a process. You can't microwave faith. It is impossible. Real faith, like for real faith, you can't microwave that. It takes time. It takes a process. It takes journeying through this thing. But many of us, we want promise and possession at the same time. We want, like, God, you said it. Give it to me. Give it to me now, God. Do it, Jesus. And then after a few weeks, we're like, God must not want to work in my life. We want fast food faith. We want quick service faith if you're Chick-fil-A. Come on, we want it now. We want it immediately. We want, like, God, you gave me a word, and God, I want to see the word come to pass in a moment. I have found that the greater the work God wants to do in you, the longer the journey of the process. I found that the greater the dream, the longer it takes to get there. I found the bigger the word, the longer it takes to get to that thing God wants to do in your life. Because here's the deal. God is preparing the promise for you. That is easy work. Preparing you for the promise is the hard work. There is a promise God has for you, but you've got to be prepared for the promise. I think about Joseph, one of my favorite Old Testament characters. At about 15 to somewhere 17 years old, scholar believes, he got a dream. He got several dreams, and the dreams were this. His parents and his brothers would be bowing down before him one day. He went and shared that in enthusiasm to his siblings. As you can imagine, that went over really well. Then he ends up being thrown in a pit by his brothers. Then he ends up being sold to some gypsies. And then he ends up being sold again into Potiphar's house. And then in Potiphar's house, he rises to power, but then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife because he wouldn't sleep with her. Because he was doing the right thing, he got falsely accused. Then he gets put in prison. And then in prison, he meets the cupbearer and the baker of the king. And then they say, we won't forget about you. And then they got out of prison, and what happened? They forgot all about him. And then he sits and rots in prisons a few more years. And then finally, 15 years later or so, he gets brought before the Pharaoh. He's able to interpret a dream because the hand of God is on his life. And he stayed faithful to God all 15 years. And finally he interprets, and then Pharaoh puts him over all of Egypt. And then his brothers come in later because there's a famine in the land. I'm giving you the cliff notes. Come into the famine in the land. They come before him and they bow before him. And he begins to weep so much that he has to run out of the room because the dream came to fulfillment. But Joseph at 15 wasn't ready to handle being the prime minister of Egypt. And here's what I have found in our life, that when God gives us a word, it's like he pulls back the curtain just a little bit, long enough for you to see the end of the dream, but not for you to see the journey of the dream. Not because he's mean or because he's ill-hearted, but because if you knew the journey of the dream, you maybe would eject from the dream. You maybe would give up on the dream, because he showed Joseph, look, all your family's bowing before you. But what Joseph didn't see on the other side of the curtain was a pit. And what he didn't see was a prison. And what he didn't see was being forgotten in the prison. And what he did see was the promise of the dream. But God was doing something in Joseph all along the way to prepare him. I think about Mary. Mary, you're going to carry the Son of God. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. He will save his people from their sins. What God didn't say to Mary is, you will watch your son be beaten. You will watch your son hang on a cross. You will watch your son be put into a tomb, and all hope will be lost. And what he didn't see is that he will rise from the dead 3 days later. Why? Because he saw the dream, but Mary didn't see the process. But there is a process to your promise. And if you eject from the process, and some of you, I want to speak to you today, you have stalled out in your faith. No, you're going to heaven. It's good. But you are not experiencing heaven on earth. Because you've stalled out in your faith, because you didn't realize there's a process to this promise. There's a journey to this thing. And you wanted the thing microwaved for you. You wanted 30 seconds and boom, there's the journey. There's the promise of God. But I'm just telling you, get back in the race. Get back on the track. Keep running the thing God has for you. Why? Because the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. The work he began in you, he will complete in you. But you can't give up in the middle of it. You can't give up in the middle of it. Two more thoughts. I'll be over my time. That's what happens when I'm off 5 weeks.
So good.
Bible says that Abraham went to the promised land, and it doesn't say he got the deed. It doesn't say he took possession of it yet. But he set up a tent as if it was already his. So faith, when it gets a word, begins to act as though the word has already come to pass, even if they haven't seen it with their eyes yet. Because my faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. I don't see the deed yet, but my faith says, set up my tent. I haven't taken all the land yet, but my faith says, start a fire and begin making a meal. My faith says, begin to make yourself at home, even though you are a foreigner in a strange land, Abraham. Set up yourself as home, because you heard the voice of God say, that's your land, this is your inheritance, this is your possession. And I don't know what the word of the Lord is in your life, but here's what I do know. Once you hear the word, begin acting like the word is already true, because that is what faith is. Faith is the evidence that even though I don't see it yet, what God says is what's gonna come to pass in my life. So if God said it, I'm gonna begin acting like it. I'm gonna begin talking like it. I'm gonna begin declaring my marriage is healthy and healed. Even though I just had a fight last night, I'm gonna begin declaring my finances are blessed. Even though I just lost my job, I'm gonna begin declaring God is opening doors for me. God is making ways for me, even though I cannot see it. Why? Because my faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things not seen. You can't see it, but if God said it, I'm gonna begin saying it. If God said it, I'm going to begin doing it. If God said it, I'm going to begin walking it. Because faith acts like it's already done. One last thought. We'll pray. All this works because faith is anchored in eternity. It says Abraham was looking to a builder whose foundation and building and architect was God. Abraham wasn't looking, he was looking beyond the move. Some of us were so earthly focused, we can't see beyond the here and now. This is why things overwhelm you so much. Because all of your eggs are in the earth basket. Abraham was like, no. I've got my eyes set on something else. I've got my eyes set on an eternity that far outweighs this world. And so you need me to move, God? Cool, I'll move. Because I'm anchored in something beyond this life. I'm not living for the here and now. God, you need me to take that step, great. You need me to be generous, God. You want me to go on a mission trip? You want me to do this, God? Good, I'm good, because I'm not living for the here and now. I'm not trying to build this life on the earth. I'm not, this isn't the end of the story for me. I'm living for heaven. I'm living for eternity. I'm living for something beyond this. I'm looking beyond this now. I'm looking beyond this problem. I'm looking beyond this tragedy. I'm looking out. I'm looking beyond my 401k. I'm looking beyond retirement. I'm looking beyond this earth. My eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? So that this earth would not be the final say in my life, that heaven would have the final say. And so I'm not living for now. And if you're living for now, faith sounds crazy. But if you're living for heaven, it makes all the sense in the world. So I'd propose that Abraham is a proven model. One we could follow. One we could emulate. Because he moved on the word. He embraced the journey. It's a process. He acted like what God said was true and was already happening. And his heart was anchored beyond this world. And so may you take his life as an example to follow in your own life. Do you receive the word today? Is that helpful? Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed at all of our locations and everyone joining us online. Maybe for you today, your life is not anchored in eternity. And maybe that's the step of faith you need to take today. It's not faith to believe God for something big or faith to believe for your situation to change, but it's faith to believe for your sins to be forgiven. It's the greatest step of faith anyone ever takes. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, I need a new beginning in Jesus. See, the Bible says that we've all sinned, and that's not meant to condemn you. It's just the reality of humanity. And that the wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God, but he never wanted it that way. That's why he sent Jesus, his only son, to give his life. He lived the life you could never live and died the death that we all deserved. And if we'll simply place our faith, our trust, in what Jesus did for us on the cross, our sins will be forgiven. And our relationship will be restored with God. And so in just a moment, we're gonna pray and express that to God. And if that's your heart, and that's your desire today, then we want you to be a part of that prayer. And I wanna know who I'm praying with. And so at every campus, nobody looking around, we would not embarrass you for the world, just myself and your campus pastor. If you'd say, Pastor, that's me today, I need a new start. Then when I count to three, I just want you to shoot your hand up high enough, long enough for me to see. Then we're gonna pray together. On three, this is your moment. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high. God bless you. God bless you, that's beautiful. I see you in the back, that's beautiful. You can put them down. Church, let's pray this out loud together for the benefit of those who just slipped up their hand. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.